Welcome everyone to Ascend Live. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Justin Bader here, and this is Ascend Live. This is one of our early episodes in the 21-22 hiring season, which never really, you know, ends. But I really wanted to encourage you to start thinking about a couple of key issues well in advance, because if we don't start thinking about them now, it is going to be a problem later. So today on Ascend Live, we are talking about earning the recommendation, earning the best possible recommendation from your supervisor, from your colleagues, from district administrators who can help you in your future job search. And we want to get going on this right away because it's essential to have people in your corner. When you are applying for a job, you don't want to just be speaking on your own behalf. You want other people to be speaking for you and putting in a good word for you. And of course, one way they do that is through the recommendation letter. And we are going to be talking quite a bit more about recommendation letters in the coming months. So don't overlook recommendation letters. But even before you get the actual letter that you will send in with your job application, you want to make sure that you are recruiting your references to actually help you, enlisting them to assist you in the networking, in the putting out feelers, putting in a good word, and giving you advice on what you can do to make yourself the best possible candidate. So we have a diagram that we call the trail map, and the trail map has five stages. And most people really don't start thinking about the job search until they're at that final stage of applying and interviewing and just kind of persisting. They think it's just going to be a real quick process of, well, I'll just apply and interview and I'll get the job. No, it starts much, much sooner than that with discovering your leadership superpowers and recruiting your references. And what we're going to be talking about today is actually building those superpowers with the help of your references, right? Today, you have some qualifications. You have some things that you are good at. You have skills. You have experience. You have expertise. And that is what makes you ready for that next level job that you will be applying for sometime next year. But because that's a few months off, you know, you're probably not going to be applying for a job tomorrow. You have time to actually increase your skills. You have time to develop new capacities. And I don't mean that you should go back to school and get more degrees or get a doctorate or take more courses. You probably already have all of the qualifications on paper that you need for that next level leadership role. It's very seldom the case that people are trying to apply for jobs where they actually need a new degree. So if you've been thinking, hey, maybe I should go back to grad school, take out $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 more in student loans, maybe that would make me a more competitive candidate. I want to encourage you not to do that. I hear from people all the time who finish their doctorate, who get their EdD or their PhD, and then they think, okay, now what am I going to do with this? So please don't make that mistake. Do this in the right order, figure out what job you want, and I'm guessing that you already have the degrees you need, and it's about developing other types of skills and rounding yourself out in other ways that will make you a more competitive candidate. Welcome to everybody who is joining us. Leave a comment, let me know that you are here. You can just say hi, and I will know that you are checking in with us. Our topic tonight is how to use the next few months to make yourself the most competitive possible candidate. And we want to do that in a couple of ways. You want to learn new skills. You also want to gain new experience, maybe serve on some committees that you haven't before, do some tough work that you will need to do in your next level role that you've not had a chance to do yet. And through that work, you want to increase your visibility in the profession. See, I think what happens sometimes, especially to people who are in assistant principal roles or dean of student roles or instructional coach roles, is it's easy to be, you know, worked to death in the job that you have and used effectively in the job that you have, but also to get kind of stuck in that job because you're so useful. Why would anyone ever want to give you a different opportunity? Do you ever feel that way? Have you ever felt like, they're getting a lot out of me, but they're not really investing a lot in me to move me to the next level, because why would they? and they would have to replace me, and that would be difficult. Have you ever been told that? Give me a yes in the comments if you've ever felt that way or actually explicitly been told that, that it would be hard to replace you, so why would we want to help you get a different job? Those kinds of reactions from the people who are supposed to be your mentors, from the people who are your supervisors, can be very difficult to deal with in the job search. And we will talk about what to do in just a little bit if you don't have a terribly supportive boss who is advocating for you and is eager to see you move to that next level. So we want you to make that progress. We want you to have those opportunities. Ooh, I'm getting lots of yeses. I didn't even know this many people were here. Awesome. Thank you so much for your comments there. So we're talking about how to do all that, how to use this time to get ready. And let's just jump right into that issue of an unsupportive boss. And I won't ask you right now if your boss is unsupportive because they might be watching, but I want to talk about some things that I hear all the time to let you know that I do hear them all the time. These are not uncommon issues. These are not unique issues. If you are facing them, other people are facing them too. And there are solutions. So I think it's very common to be in that position of being used and useful in the job that you're in, but not wanting to, you know, your boss not wanting to really help you move on to you know, the next level of responsibility. And I was very fortunate that I did have a boss who knew that I was in my dean of students kind of role. I was a head teacher at an elementary school, and he kind of knew when he hired me that I was not going to be in that job forever. And I was in that job for 2 years, and then I became a principal. And he kind of knew that that was going to happen. He helped me with that, and I owe Dan a lot of credit and thanks for helping me along. And if you don't have someone like that in that role for you, if your boss is not supportive, then we've got to figure out what to do about that. You might hear things like, well, I don't want to lose you. You're so valuable here. How could we ever replace you? You might hear things like, well, you know, you're just not quite ready yet. You know, I think you'll be a good leader someday. You might be cut out for it, but you just need more time. You're so young. I don't think you're ready yet. You know, don't be impatient. I put in my time and it took me X number of years. Our students need you. You know, what would we do without you? All those kinds of things that might sometimes be intended as compliments, but are really telling you, no, don't move on yet. You're not ready. You're going faster than I did. Often a lot of where this comes from is you're younger than your boss was when they made a similar move, and they're a little bit insecure about that. Or they may legitimately think, I don't know how we could replace this person because you're so good that they really don't know what they would do without you. But here's how I want you to feel good about this. I want you to feel good about moving on from your current position because you are not obligated to that position for the rest of your life, right? I don't think anybody, give me a no in the comments if you did not sign a lifetime contract. Did you just sign a lifetime contract? Like, did you sign your soul over to your current job, right? Did anybody get a lifetime contract? Give me a no in the chat if not, or give me a yes if you did sign a lifetime contract. I'm not aware of the legalities of that. But I think most of us sign a one-year contract, and that is the deal, right? I will do my darndest for our students for this year, and if I'm back next year, I'll do the same next year. But none of us signed a lifetime contract. Bunny didn't, Lee didn't. Of course, we want to be all in. We want to be all committed to our students and to our school and to doing our very best in that role right now. But you never promised to stay in this role forever, right? There is no expectation in this profession that you will stay in your job forever. And this idea of loyalty, I think, is one that trips us up sometimes. Sometimes we think we have to be loyal to that specific job, right? And that it's a betrayal to move on from that specific job. Your boss might tell you that you're betraying our students if you try to move on from your current job. And I'm here to tell you that is not true, and that is not a fair statement for them to make. Do not let someone tell you that you are betraying your students or betraying your school or betraying the community by seeking a next level leadership position or even a lateral move, right? You did not sign a lifetime contract. You did not sign your name in blood when you took the job. Do the great job, the best job that you can right now, but do not feel bad at all about applying for a new job next year. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I hope we keep you in the profession. I hope you have a loyalty to the education profession, but there is absolutely no rule that says you have to stay in this job. So please don't let people tell you that or guilt you into sticking around longer than you want to. Kevin says 1 year contract. Absolutely. Sometimes you get a 2 or 3 year contract, especially if you're in an international school. They really do want to keep you for 2 or 3 years because the turnover is difficult in international schools. But yeah, typically it's a one year contract. I'm not saying break a contract if you do have a multi-year contract, but there's a time when you're ready to move on. And what you've got to figure out how to do in that situation is get around any gatekeepers who might be standing in your way. And if you are an assistant principal, it is very likely that your principal is an effective gatekeeper to the principalship in your district. And I know a lot of people are in this kind of difficult position where maybe your principal has come to rely on you because you're so competent, and maybe they're struggling. Maybe they've got some personal things going on. Maybe they maybe should have retired, or maybe this job is just very stressful for them and they lean on you very heavily and they think, if I didn't have this great assistant principal, I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I would replace them. I don't know how I would do my own job because I've offloaded so much of it to you. And that can really make someone panic and say some inappropriate things to you. So if you've heard those things that I had on the previous slide, then please know you're not alone, and please understand where that is coming from in terms of your boss being just legitimately afraid of losing you. Now, they don't have the right to lock you down, right? They don't have the right to be that gatekeeper that keeps you from moving on to the next level leadership job that you deserve and that you're ready for. But in your district, they may have a degree of power that is real, right? That they actually can kind of control your access to principal hiring. You know what I mean? I think that's a real thing in a lot of districts. Now, one thing you've got to feel good about is that if your principal is struggling, if your principal is barely keeping their head above water, your principal's boss probably knows it. And this really applies at any level. Like if you're a principal and you have a director who just really is not a good director and is kind of holding you back, maybe you're applying for a director position and they are telling you you're not ready, it is probably fairly well known in your district that that person is not doing super well. So don't be too afraid to do something about that and to kind of bypass them, because other people will understand the situation that you're in. But what you have got to do is you've got to make sure that that one gatekeeper person who is holding you back is not your only option, right? When we said in the five-step ascend trail map process here, recruit your references is that second stage. You want to make sure that your boss, your direct supervisor who is unsupportive, is not your only reference. You've got to make sure that you have a broader network who can support you. So that means building relationships with other people across the district. One of the most important things I think I did as an aspiring principal in Seattle Public Schools, in addition to having, just lucking into having a very supportive principal, was getting on district committees, helping with summer school. There is a lot of different just district things that I helped with that I didn't have to, but I put in the time and I got exposure to other people in the district who were in a position to vouch for me. People who I only knew a little bit, but they thought good things about me because they had worked with me on different projects. So anything like that you can be a part of to build that network, to be involved in different committees that will give you that exposure, I want to encourage you to do that. Now, let me know if you have specific questions about this, and I will do my best to answer them. Also, let me say, if this is a delicate question, you can text it to me. And let me put the text number up on the screen here, because I want you to feel okay asking questions about this. You do not have to ask publicly here. You can text me. So here is the number. All right, so there you've got the number, and I'm gonna put this up on the screen as well. If you have specific questions about the issue of dealing with your boss, let me see if I can put that back up on the screen here, 501-222-4415. Let's talk about whether and how and when you should go over your boss's head. So if you have an unsupportive boss, they say, no, I'm not gonna write you a recommendation letter. No, I don't want you to leave. What do you do? Well, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to make a good effort, right? Make a good effort to win them over and say, hey, this is, really where I see myself going. And I want to be in a place where there is opportunity. I want to, give it my best here. But at some point, I am thinking of moving on, and I would love to do that with your support. So give them a good shot at supporting you. Give them multiple chances to say yes, because honestly, the first time you ask them, it just may be a bad time, right? Don't feel like if they said something that wasn't a full endorsement of you and an encouragement to go for it, like maybe it was just a really bad day to ask. And I know staffing has been really tough this year in almost every school, so putting it on the radar that you might be leaving is going to be tougher this year than most. But, you know, ask multiple times, give them a, you know, lots of chances to support you. Don't ask for a whole lot up front, just kind of put it on their radar. But, you know, you don't want to catch them by surprise here. If they are still unsupportive, if you are told very clearly, or if you get some sort of super inappropriate response, like if they yell at you and pound their fist or threaten you or you know, just vow never to let you get a job in the district ever again, anything like that, then you probably do want to go over your boss's head, right? So we'll talk about how to do that. Again, text me with any specific questions that you have about that, 501-222-4415. Let's talk about a couple scenarios. And the first is going to be talking with your boss directly. Now, this is a little script that I'm going to give you. You may want to take a screenshot of this. Feel free. And you'll be able to go back on Facebook and take a screenshot if you missed this. But if you're on your phone, you can take a screenshot right now here. This is the script for talking to your boss, for having that initial conversation. So something like this, but do this face-to-face. Don't do this over email. You see your direct supervisor fairly often. Try to have this conversation face-to-face. Hey, want to let you know I'm thinking ahead to my next steps as a leader, and I'm planning to apply for jobs next year, right? So don't read this word for word, but you know, kind of paraphrase it, make it your own. So you want to just give them a heads up. You want to be committed to your current job. I want you to know that I'm 100% committed to this job and to serving our students with everything I've got this year. But I also know I'm not going to be here forever, and I'd rather move on when the time is right than stay too long. And I want to do that with your support. So I wanted to ask, what should I be doing right now to earn your best possible recommendation? All right, what do you think about that? Leave a comment. Let me know if that is helpful. Just say yes if that's helpful. Again, feel free to take a screenshot of that. And again, you want to have a face-to-face conversation with your boss. Don't do this over email. You want that to be a personal conversation where you express that commitment, but you also ask for help and say, hey, here's where I see myself going. What should I do? And in asking that question, you are providing value to your boss, to your current school, in your current position that you hold right now. You're not saying, I'm going to start phoning it in because I've got one foot out the door. That's not what you're saying at all. You're saying, I see myself moving on to more responsibility in the future. What can I do to deserve that responsibility by doing an even better job in the position that I'm in right now? How can I build that experience? How can I contribute? How can I make a bigger difference as a part of this team? And typically that will go well. Typically that will, you know, it might be a little bit disappointing for your boss to hear that you are planning to move on, but probably they kind of knew that this day would come. And what you don't want to do, my friend, is you do not want to surprise them with that news in March. Do not have this conversation in March of next year. Do not have this conversation never. Don't put your boss in the position of getting a reference check phone call and being totally caught off guard and not knowing what to say because you never told them that you were applying for jobs at all. You have got to have this conversation. Do not put this off. It is awkward. It is uncomfortable. You're going to wish you didn't have to do this, but I'm telling you, you've got to do this. You've got to have this conversation with your boss and say, hey, I'm going to be looking. What should I do to earn your best possible recommendation? Also, you want to do this before you ask for a recommendation letter. You don't want to say, hey, I need a recommendation letter. Also, if there's anything I should do, blah, blah, blah. You know, like you want to give them a chance now to tell you what you should do to earn that recommendation. All right, so let me know if that is helpful. I want to give you another script that you can use with people who kind of know you, but maybe are not your direct supervisor and maybe don't know you that well. You can reach out by email or, you know, stop them after a meeting and say, hey, you remember when we worked together on that project or that committee last year or that adoption board 2 years ago? I wanted to ask for your advice. And by the way, asking for advice is a great way to build a bridge. People love giving advice. You know, for some reason, I think it's just kind of in our nature to want to help other people. So if you ask for advice, the other person is going to, you know, to feel obligated to give you that advice and to support you. So I wanted to ask for your advice. I'm planning to apply for such and such positions next year, and I want to do everything I can now to become the best leader I can be. So again, paraphrase, you can do this over email if you don't see this person very often, but do it face-to-face if you possibly can. Would you be willing to share a few words of wisdom? What should I be doing? And you can ask a more specific question. Maybe you've seen an opportunity come up to apply for a committee or to serve on a board or something, and you're wondering, would this be a good thing for me to do? Especially if that person is looking to fill seats on that committee, right? If that person is in charge of the underwater basket weaving curriculum adoption committee and they're having trouble finding people to serve on that committee, they are going to be thrilled to give you advice that yes, you should serve on their committee, help them out, gain that experience, and position yourself for that next level leadership role. So ask for their advice, ask for their help. And what you're doing there is a couple things. Number one, you are asking for advice and they can give you advice and that advice will be valuable. Number two, you are offering to help them if they have anything that you could help them with that, you know, that they have in mind, you're offering to do that. And number three, you're signaling to them that they should put out feelers for you. They should keep their ear to the ground and let you know if any opportunities become available because their network is better than yours, right? If there are senior people in your district that you're reaching out to like this, their network is bigger than yours. They know more people. They went to principal school longer ago than you did, and they know people who are in more senior positions around the region. And you want to activate that network on your behalf. You want to signal to them that you are a leader on the move, you are a person on the rise, you are going to do great things, and you would like their advice and help. And when they're at a conference among their senior leaders, whatever kind of conferences they go to, and they hear that someone else is hiring for a certain position, they're going to think of you and they're going to say, you know what? We've got an assistant principal, or we've got a young lady who I think is going to be really fabulous. You might want to give her a call. And they might let you know that that position is becoming available. And tons of positions are filled before they're ever posted. Informally, they're filled through that process, through those networks. And I hear a lot of people complain about politics. People get so bitter about politics. Well, politics is just what we call networking when it doesn't work in our favor, right? When it works in our favor, we call it networking and we love it. We're very happy that it exists when it works in our favor. And this, my friends, is how you can make networking work in your favor so that you never have to complain about politics. Build that network. Activate those relationships when you've served on a committee with someone. Reach out, ask how you can help in the coming months and what you can do to increase your chances. I'm going to put the number for questions up one more time if you want to text me a question, and I will keep an eye on those. So here we go with that. All right. And again, that number is 501-222-4415. All right. Now we're going to talk about the most difficult situation where you have to go over your boss's head. This can be tricky, but I promise there are people I've talked to already this school year who probably are going to have to do this, and you know who you are. If your boss is, I'm just going to say, if your boss is unwell, if your boss is really struggling personally, if your boss has lost credibility within the district, if your boss has threatened you, if your boss has said, no, I will actively sabotage your plans to move into a higher level position, I want to keep you all to myself. If they've said anything inappropriate to you like that, then there is a good chance that you're going to have to go over your boss's head. And here is what that can look like. You may have to send this one via email. But if you see this person in person, great. But you may have to reach out to your boss's boss via email. And this is always something you want to do with a great deal of thought and a great deal of care because, you know, it can go poorly. Because it's likely that at some point your boss will find out that you made this contact. But, if you're at that point, then, you know that you need to do this. So you might say something like, hey, I wanted to reach out and seek your advice on something important. I'm planning to apply for such and such positions next year, and I want to do everything I can now to become the best leader I can be. I brought this up with so-and-so, but they were unsupportive, and I don't really know what to do about that. I don't want to create an awkward situation, but I also don't want that lack of support to hold me back. Would you be willing to share some words of wisdom? Now, here is, I'm thinking especially of reaching out to a director when you are an assistant principal with an unsupportive principal who's holding you back and has said that they are going to sabotage you in some way as you're seeking, say, a principal position. Now, here's how directors think about assistant principals. There really are a couple of different ways that directors think about assistant principals. Number one, they don't think about them, right? If you are an assistant principal and you don't interact with the director that much, they're not really thinking about you that much. And there are some people who have kind of permanently put themselves in that category of like people who are never going to be the direct report of that director. They're always going to be assistant principals. And there's not really any reason for them to give you too much concern. You know, you're not a problem to them. You're not, you're just not on their radar. It's not anything negative, but you're just not on their radar. The other way they can think about you is as an aspiring principal, as a future principal. And come next year, come January, February, March, and especially beyond March, it is going to be an urgent problem for directors to fill their vacant principal positions. Because in January, principals are going to start resigning, they're going to start retiring, they're going to start taking other positions, and it is going to be an urgent challenge to fill every one of those principal positions with a qualified, trusted candidate. You do not want to be getting to June or July with an unfilled principal position. And that happened a lot this year. There were a lot of unfilled positions very late in the game. So they want to know as directors that they have a stable full of people who are ready to move up into the principalship at a moment's notice. If somebody gets hired away or if somebody retires suddenly, they want to be able to put you up into one of those principal positions right away. So you are actually doing them a big favor by getting on their radar now. And likely they haven't really been thinking of you that much, but they will be thinking of you when they need you to fill a suddenly vacant position. So don't be afraid to do this. Don't be afraid to reach out to your boss's boss, especially if your principal has been unsupportive. You do want to be careful about this if you do have a good relationship with your principal. Again, so I wouldn't do this willy-nilly. I wouldn't do this just to get a good recommendation letter because generally you don't want to go over your boss's head, right? But there are a lot of you who have spoken with me, who've reached out, who've said, you know, I just feel like I'm not ever going to have the support of this person. What should I do? This is my recommendation. Reach out to your boss's boss. Tell them what's going on. They're going to understand. They are going to be alarmed at it because this is not a good situation to be in, right? They know it's not appropriate to hoard talent and to hold people back when they're ready to move on in their careers. So this is not great news for them, but they do need to know. And the sooner they know, the better. And what may end up happening, you know, what could be a possible outcome here is they may want to move you laterally. They may say, you know what, I don't think you're really ready for, you know, a high school principalship yet. You know, you've only been an assistant principal for 1 year, but I think you would do really well over at the other high school. And they'll move you over to a place where maybe there's a better leadership pipeline. And I remember when I was a principal, there was one particular high school in our section of the district that just churned out principals. Every assistant principal they had immediately became a principal because it was such a leadership pipeline to serve with that principal. If you got to be an AP or even an intern in that building, you were going to be a fantastic principal. And that was just kind of a known thing. So please don't be offended if a director says to you, you know what, I definitely see your future, but I think you need to go over here to get some experience. That is a good outcome of this type of conversation. So those are the scripts that I have for you. Feel free to go back on Facebook and screenshot those if you need to. Make them your own. Try to have a face-to-face conversation, but email them if you need to and figure out what experience to gain. Let's see. I got a question over text message. What do you do if your boss has demonstrated that they do not trust you? Great question. Thank you for sending that in. And again, if you want to text me a question, feel free at 501-222-4415. And I will be happy to take a look at that question and not read your name. But it is definitely possible that your boss may have it in for you and not want to support you. You can get jobs without the support of your direct supervisor. It absolutely is possible, but it's extremely helpful if you have a network of different people like your boss's boss pulling for you, other principals in the district. And again, I'm thinking about if you're an assistant principal and your principal is not supportive, get other principals on your team, get other assistant principals, or maybe not other assistant principals, but other professionals across the district who can be that network. And again, I know the person who texted me, this is probably the case, that that person's reputation in the district, that unsupportive boss that you have right now, probably has a bad reputation in the district, right? Your boss's boss knows that your boss is not at the top of their game. And they know to kind of discount and not really give too much credit to whatever that person says. So if they badmouth you, I don't want you to worry too much about that if you have those other relationships. But again, what you've got to do is you've got to make sure that that person is not too much of a gatekeeper, right? You don't want them to control your access to those positions. And the way that you do that is by building those relationships across the district and getting other people working for you and working in your corner. All right, so we've got those scripts there. A couple of final thoughts on what types of experience to gain, right? You want to get exposure to other people in the district. So you want to serve on district committees, especially if you are looking to move from an assistant principalship or a dean of students type role into a principal role. You want to get on district committees that will give you visibility, that will build your network, that will give you new responsibilities, that will give you experience dealing with some of those situations that will kind of toughen you up for what you'll need to face in that role. So look for opportunities outside of your school. When it comes to one particular category that can be interesting, if you're an assistant principal, you are in the principal's bargaining unit, right? You're in the principal's union, or if there's not a principal's union, you don't want to be in representing the teacher's union as an administrator. So make sure you're not engaging in contract negotiations on behalf of the teacher's union. But things like bargaining, if you want to be on the district bargaining committee or the district teacher evaluation committee or any kind of curriculum committee or the student discipline committee, there are so many different district committees that need people to show up. You can be that person, you can have a seat at the table, you can have a voice, and you can build your network and work around an unsupportive boss by gaining that type of experience. So I hope that is helpful. One thing that I wanted to let you know that we have coming up is a book study with Jennifer Abrams on her book, Hard Conversations Unpacked. And I've got it here somewhere. I think it's over there. Yeah. I'm reading this book right now to prepare for our book study. It is November 1st, 8th, and 15th. If you are a member, I see lots of members tuning in today. This one is included. We record it. You can watch it anytime. It is kind of mid-afternoon. It is during the school day. This is a fabulous program for anyone who is in a leadership position because you've got to be able to have hard conversations. So if you're looking for skills to develop, I want to encourage you to check out Hard Conversations with Jennifer Abrams at principalcenter.com/unpacked. And this will be our second book study that we've done with Jen. She's the profession's leading expert on having difficult conversations and how to plan them and think through, you know, what kind of conversation is this? What outcome do I want? What do I need to say? What do I not need to say? What am I going to do if the other person cries? And speaking of, you know, inappropriate reactions or difficult reactions, if you have this conversation with your boss about asking for a recommendation and what you should do to earn that recommendation, and you get some sort of terrible response, I definitely want to encourage you to sign up for Hard Conversations Unpacked. Again, if you are a member of the Instructional Leadership Association, you should already have an invitation to that, and we will send you the recordings automatically. If you are not a member, or if you want to get a copy of the book, go to principalcenter.com/unpacked. We have registration information there, and you can register a group or yourself. You can order the book on your own, or you can get that as part of the registration. But yeah, definitely recommend being part of that. Another question that's coming in, what if your district does not have a variety of committees to serve on? What could be happening in that case is your principal is not telling you. I don't know of any district that does not have an abundance of committees. They're just like... school districts love committees, right? There are committees coming out the ears of every school district. So what's likely happening is that your principal is simply not sharing them with you. So what you may want to do is you may want to reach out to key people in the district like curriculum department chairs. If there are people you've worked with in the past, you can just reach out and ask, you know, that use that script that I shared just a little bit ago of a district acquaintance. You know, you may remember me. I'm planning to apply. What could I be doing? Don't be afraid to ask, because what happens is all of those opportunities often will be sent to the principal, and if the principal doesn't pass them on, you will never hear about them. So that is I'm guessing, what is going on in that case, is that they're being sent to the principal, they're asking principals to recommend people or invite people to serve on different committees, and then it's just not being passed on to you. So I would reach out to those people in your district directly that you think might be responsible for those different teams and committees, and get involved that way. Not to, you know, directly go over your boss's head. You know, again, I think you want to be careful about that. You want to give them several chances to get used to the idea and have a chance to be on board. And then ultimately, you may need to go over their head to their boss. But, you know, just in terms of offering to serve on committees, there's nothing difficult about, you know, or nothing, you know, awkward about reaching out to those people directly and saying, hey, is there anything I can serve on? So that is what I have for you today. Wonderful questions. If we didn't get to your question, again, feel free to text me. And I'm also looking for questions that would be helpful in the coming months. We will officially kick off hiring season on Black Friday. Now, Black Friday is the day after American Thanksgiving, not Canadian Thanksgiving, which I think is sooner, right? So the day after American Thanksgiving on Friday, we will have our first kind of job search kickoff webinar, and I'll be sharing as many strategies as I can to help you do everything you can to prepare for the coming hiring season. And again, we've got the whole trail map diagram, discover your leadership superpowers, recruit your references, craft your application argument. There's a lot to do with your application that you can start on before the new year. Train for interview day, start all that practicing and so forth, and race to the finish line. We want to start on this soon. We do not want to put this off until February or March or whenever you see a job get posted. Start putting in the work now, because it's going to take a lot of revision, it's going to take a lot of practice, and it's going to take a lot of effort to make yourself the most competitive possible candidate. See, please don't think that this is simply a case of everybody applies and whoever gets lucky gets the job. No, fortune favors the prepared, right? You want to be the most prepared person who has put in the most work on their resume and their cover letter and their practice interview answers. One thing, I don't have a slide for this, but make sure you download our practice interview questions. If you go to principalcenter.com/interview, I'll put this up on the screen here, if I can type it correctly, principalcenter.com/interview, download those questions, print them out, start writing out your answers, start practicing. It is not too soon. I know we're 10 months away from the start of next school year, but it is not too soon to begin practicing. So go get them, reach out anytime with questions, and I will see you next time on Ascend Live. Thanks so much for tuning in.